that the sense of peace, after finally being able to communicate that one, that niggling thing that someone keeps doing that's really, really annoying, and you just, why are you doing it? You can communicate what that thing is, and that person is listening to you carefully. Hello and welcome to the Art of Money Saving podcast. My name is Joshua, and this is the place where you can come every single Wednesday to hear inspiring financial stories from everyday normal people just like you and just like me. Now, it's another solo episode today, but it's a very exciting one because I am going to share something which could help you discuss money. And it's not exclusive to money either. This is a really fantastic practical system to discuss issues that are not easy to talk about. Now, there are numerous steps, so you may want to grab a pen and paper and jot these things down, or just listen along. But let's get cracking with this episode. First of all, a very brief update and a happy new year to you. Greetings from a very rural Lithuania. As I look out my window, there is a blanket of beautiful white snow. So it's feeling very Christmassy, even though Christmas is over, strangely enough. But I must apologize if there is any background noise, because of course I'm not in my normal place of recording. Now, I can't take any credit for this system today. There are 10 points that we're going to discuss, and it's from an author called Linda Solly. I'll be leaving all of this important information in the show notes for you to go and look more. But if this is helpful to you, make sure you grab a pen and jot these things down. Now, this system was shared with me before getting married as a way to confront someone. So it's called gentle confrontation skills. And the whole idea about this system is to take the emotion out of the issue that you're discussing. So, of course, we know that money is a very emotive topic. And the type of ways that I found people communicating around the topic of money is generally quite passive-aggressive. So, can you relate? If, in the past, I saw someone, maybe one of my brothers or a family member, I can think of an example with my brother, actually, and he was buying a donut from a very expensive market in London. And this singular donut costed, I think, £4.50, which is an enormous amount of money. Now, as someone that's fairly frugal, I would never choose to buy that donut. It's just not in my mind at all. And the way that I chose to communicate about this was passive-aggressively. I said, it's absolutely ridiculous. You should not be spending that money on a donut. You don't have the money to afford it. It's, you know, the proportion of the cost of that donut in your net worth is substantial, and you shouldn't be doing it. So I effectively snapped at him, and I got angry at him. And the result of that is he immediately put the barriers up, and we didn't talk for a day, and there was hostility, and it just wasn't a healthy place to be. This system, however, I have found, takes that emotion out of the circumstances and makes it a much more constructive conversation where you're actively trying to find a solution for one another. So let me begin by mentioning point one. Point number one is to pay attention to whether you're in a mood to dump your anger or try to resolve whatever is bothering you and improve the relationship. So, in that case, when my brother just bought the donut, I was in a mood where I wanted to dump my anger. I wanted to vent my frustration onto him. And it says, if you are in the mood to dump your anger, take time to cool off first. You could exercise or journal, so you can talk in a non-threatening manner. Absolute key, right? Point number two, make sure both you and the other person appear to be in a reasonably receptive mood and that neither of you are facing a pressure situation in that moment. I can relate to that again. Often when I want to discuss something that's really important, particularly this has happened with finances with my wife, that's something really, really urgent that I want to discuss. And I've approached her and said, we need to do this straight away. And it's just not right, not the right timing. And she doesn't want to do that. And that's difficult. You have to be able to separate yourself and your emotions and step away and say, right, okay, we will discuss this another time. Point number three. Ask first if the other person is willing to take some time to talk with you about an issue concerning you, perhaps sharing a little about the matter that you want to discuss. Couples can have a prior agreement to discuss an issue within 24 hours of when it was first introduced. So, if one is not in the mood to discuss a concern when first approached, an alternative time would be determined right then. The issue is dropped until the agreed upon discussion time. Look, this is a fantastic system. Now, playing the devil's advocate, I may hear some of you saying that already 3 points in, this is, I'm not following, this is too complicated. When I want to discuss an issue, I just tell it how it is, I go for it. Stick with this, right? Because this is a tried and tested system, and I can assure you that it works so well. It works so well. And having the 24-hour cooling period has worked both for me and against me. So normally I would say that I'm the one wanting to confront and say, we need to talk about this. But there has been an occasion as well where I said, this isn't the time. Can we speak about this another time? And we agreed to speak about it again within 24 hours. And the solution was far better. Point number four. The goal is to keep the other person's defenses down. Watch your body language. Don't cross your arms. Face the person in a relaxed manner and tone of voice. Watch not to sound accusing. The goal is to appear non-threatening. So let's think of a hypothetical example. Your husband has gone out and he's bought a remote control car costing £500 and you're absolutely furious. If you've just seen that on the joint account and he's just walked in through the door, your initial instinct is probably to go for him and say, what on earth have you spent this money on? It's absolutely ridiculous. We're still in debt. How dare you do that? Not a great place to start the conversation. It's not an inviting place to discuss these things. And certainly, he's not going to really want to admit his faults or mistakes, you know, or find a solution. So in that example, the way that you use your body language is important. And also, eye contact as well. Just sitting down and being in that relaxed environment just allows you time to chill out, look at each other as well. That sounds strange, maybe, but take time to look at one another and see how someone is responding to what you're saying. Now we're getting into the good stuff. Up until this point, we've been talking about the lead up to a discussion, making sure that the person's in the right mood, making sure that they're going to respond to this well. Now we get into the really actionable points about how do you discuss a problem. Point number five, start by acknowledging what the other person does right regarding the issue that you want to address. If, in your opinion, they do nothing right regarding the issue, give them credit for the positive efforts regarding a related issue. This would never cross my mind, certainly not within my characteristics of how I discuss hot topics, and certainly not part of my family's tradition of how we discuss, well, and argue together, basically. We're going to say there's a couple who are in debt, and they're not that great with managing money, but they've chosen to turn over a new leaf. It's a new year, a new them, and they've agreed together that they're going to start their debt-free journey. But on the 6th of January, one of them have gone out and bought something very expensive, and that doesn't really fit in with the ideals that they previously discussed. So rather than going in all guns blazing, you're going to ask, can we sit down? I've got something important that I'd like to discuss. And you're going to tell them by acknowledging what the other person does right in that situation. So it could be, I'm so happy and really appreciate the fact that we're moving towards our joint goals on our debt-free journey together, and that I'm not left alone. So I really appreciate that we're doing this together. Now, that comment, I think, will go down so much better and really set the tone, rather than jumping in immediately with a passive-aggressive comment like, I can't believe you spent that much money. That's ridiculous. Why did you do that? So you're starting to just create an environment where that person is open to responding. And people love being complimented. It brings our defenses down. And particularly if you're someone that appreciates words of affirmation as one of their love languages, one of the five languages of love, that's another discussion altogether. But if you are someone that appreciates kind words, then, well, this is definitely a winner. Point number six, then, is next. If you see yourself contributing to the problem in any way, acknowledge your part. So it could be something like, look, I realize that, you know, we've been paying stuff on the credit cards for 5 years together, and I was doing that with you, and this is a really hard habit to break, and I appreciate all the work that you're doing. This is actually a really hard one to admit, I think, because you start taking what you see as someone else's problem, and you start combining yourself into that mix, and pride is often at stake here, isn't it, when we're talking about how we are contributing to a problem. Now, even though I've done this gentle confrontation plan many, many times, one of the things that I do almost every time is I read through each point very carefully before moving on. So I reestablish, what are we doing on this point? It's next. If you see yourself contributing to the problem in any way, acknowledge your part. And it just gives you that focus of, okay, where am I at? This is how I'm contributing to this problem. Moving on to point number seven. Now, tell the person what specific behaviors you do not appreciate. Don't generalize. Avoid the words always and never. Slightly understate the other person's offense rather than overstating it, because if you exaggerate at all, the other person will write off the entire confrontation, thinking you are being unfair or irrational. Don't label the person. Example, you're insensitive. Be straightforward, tactful, and specific. Now, that's a very long paragraph there, so let's break this down. Tell the person what specific behaviors you do not appreciate, and do not use words like always and never. This is a really good point in relationships in general. And I found myself slipping up on this occasion, saying, oh, you always do that. Why are you always doing that? Or you never do the dishes. Or you never help me carry the shopping to the car. It's not helpful. And what that person will do is their mind will race. If you say, you never help me carrying the shopping to the car, from the car to the house, that person's brain will zap towards that one time where they did exactly that. And that's what happens, is they think that you're being unreasonable and irrational. Hey, back in September 2020, I helped you carry the shopping back to the car, and there you go. You're wrong. So avoiding using those words, always and never, is helpful, because it just means our language is more intentional and more factual as well. I think it's much more accurate. Slightly understating the person's offense. This is an interesting one, isn't it? So again, this comes back to the emotion of how we feel. So the couple that we have in our mind are in debt, And the offence is huge. So there's a lack of trust. The trust has been broken by spending outside of their agreed allowance. And it would be very easy to overstate that offence. What I like about point number six is seeing yourself contributing to the problem. That I think that helps already prepare the understatement of the offence, because you are linking yourself to that offence. Don't label the person being insensitive. Be straightforward, tactful, and specific. This, I think, at the heart of the gentle confrontation is the most useful point of discussing, particularly those emotive and difficult topics. So if your partner is not investing as much as you'd like to, or they're spending too much on shoes or whatever it is, this is the point where you can say, I really don't appreciate it when you spend £500 on the credit card without telling me that you're going to do that. That's the moment where you can be straightforward and tactful, but understated a little bit. Communication is key in 2022. Have you ever met someone that's highly skilled, trained, very intelligent, has all the right qualifications, but when you listen to them, they're just a little bit boring? They're not very good at the way that they communicate and speak in public. Well, over the last year and a half, I've been helping clients from companies like Visa, Uber, Facebook improve their communication skills. 15 years ago, I was painfully shy, would always hide in the corner of the room, and was extremely introverted. But after working in a fairly extroverted profession on the opera stage, I've learnt a thing or two about overcoming those inhibitions, and I absolutely love being able to help other people who feel the same way improve those skills. So if you do want to improve your public speaking, improve how you lead, how you communicate a message, do get in touch. More details in the show notes. And now, let's get back to the episode. Point number eight. It can be helpful to also tell the other person what behaviours you'd appreciate seeing replace the undesired behaviours. So, for example, point number seven and point number eight, you could say, I really don't appreciate it when you spend £500 on the credit card. Point number eight, I would really like it if you just give me a phone call and say, look, I'm going to make this purchase. Is it okay if I do that? This helps us to be able to envisage and understand what the other person wants out of this situation. What is the solution for them? Yeah. Point number nine, we're going great guns here, aren't we? Great guns. If at any time the other person appears defensive, don't say you're getting defensive. Take it on yourself and ask if you're doing something that makes it hard to hear what you are saying. The two of you can then decide how to proceed before you return to the topic you are discussing. For example, the other person may say that you are sounding accusing or patronizing, and you would then agree to try not to sound that way and invite them to let you know if you fall into that style again. Remember, the goal is to keep the defences down so they can hear your concerns. Every single time I have done a gentle confrontation with my wife, we have come away learning more about each other and genuinely feeling a sense of peace. And I can't underestimate that the sense of peace after finally being able to communicate that niggling thing, that thing that someone keeps doing that's really, really annoying, and you just, why are you doing it? You can communicate what that thing is, and that person is listening to you carefully and agrees that that thing is a problem, and you start to agree, what is the solution? How can we replace some behavior? I think this stuff is gold dust and should be something that all couples do. Now, point number 10. This is an interesting one, and it's the final point. Communicating clearly and accurately, hearing a message, it's both challenging during a confrontation, yeah? Therefore, it can be helpful to both parties if, at the end of your talk, the person receiving the confrontation tells the other person what they heard. Any miscommunication can be clarified. So, in my own experience, this point number 10 can be the sticking point, actually. And most interestingly, even after going through the whole confrontation, the person receiving the confrontation can then say something like, oh, so what I'm hearing is you don't want me to spend any money. And you then have to correct them, saying, no, I'm not saying that you can't spend any money. I just like us to stick to our budget and spend within our means. And the person receiving the confrontation has misinterpreted what you're actually trying to say. And point 10 is really that point where you clarify, this is exactly what I'm saying, and to clarify that point once and for all. And it's then at that point that, at least in my circumstances, that I feel that sense of relief. I finally got that thing off my chest. Can you think of examples in your own life of the things in your relationship or things with your family, whatever it is, that are niggling you, that just get in your skin and just rub you up in the wrong way? Those things compound over time. We know that money is the leading cause of disputes and divorce in marriages. So this is a ginormous issue that needs discussing. And therefore, we don't want to compound those issues over time. We want to keep these conversations regular, but we also want to pick at them when they're there. So getting into the habit of discussing these things every now and again is, I think, a really healthy thing to do. So it's something that I do in my life. If I identify something that is bothering me, within a few days, I'm on it, and I'm communicating this to Irina straight away. I'm saying, look, this is bothering me. And we go through the system, and we understand each other, and we move on. And we're only less than a year into marriage, I appreciate. And some of you folks out there will have a lot more experience than we do in dealing with marriage. But I can really vouch for this system. I hope that helps. And it certainly gives you a step-by-step guide of something new to try in 2022. This could be the year that you invest in your marriage. It could be the year where you start discussing money, a very difficult topic which you've never broached before. It could be the year where you start to pay off those debts which you thought you would never be able to pay off. And this could be the moment and the type of system that helps you get there. This is The Art of Money Saving. I sincerely hope that this episode was helpful and enjoyable. I'll be back, hopefully next Wednesday, for another episode. Still on vacation, so haven't been getting any guests, but I hope that the guests will be resuming shortly. Appreciate you listening, as always, and look forward to seeing you next time.